Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.
In recent years, interest in survivalism, prepping and bushcraft has been on the rise, from people learning how to live off the land to those quietly preparing for emergencies. To others who just want to reconnect with nature and learn traditional skills. Well, our reporter Maura Fay spent an evening with the Irish Survivalist Group to get a taste of this growing movement firsthand. And Maura is here with me in the studio. Hello, Maura.
Hi, Claire.
This is an interesting one. You have to explain to us in great detail. Where did you go, firstly?
So I went to a weekend camping trip organised by the group at the River Hollow Nature Reserve. It's right on the banks of the River Barrow. It's located on the Kilkenny-Wexford border, not too far from the town of New Ross. Members of the group met up last Friday on a very balmy evening for a weekend of wild camping. It's actually been the base of the group for the last couple of years. I met with Frank Deegan. By day, he's an engineer with a telecommunications company, but he's also the co-founder of the Irish Survivalist Group. He explained to me how the group came to be.
We were founded kind of as a group, Facebook group, YouTube group, back in 2012. Where I think we're just coming out of the last recession and a lot of people were downtrodden and, you know, depressed. A lot of people lost their work or jobs, and others were worried about their work and their jobs. That was specified when we were kind of forming the group. So it was basically like-minded individuals who we all wanted to go out and do something, but we didn't know what to do. So we went out and we met out in the woods one day and said, "Right, this is a great place. It's a great crack." So it was bushcraft. Like, I've been doing bushcraft for donkey's years, but to meet other people that wanted to do it, and then to meet a lot of people that wanted to do it at the same time, it kind of became a really good hobby. I think over the years it has become a hobby for me. I do survival, bushcraft and prepping. So prepping is my mainstay at the moment, but survival is key when your supplies run out. Say we had a mega disaster of God knows what's going to happen. Like, COVID was a good example, where the shops nearly closed and everything went to pot in the country. People weren't allowed out. Now, I was okay. Myself and my wife were okay. We had food and supplies of water and food and whatever in the house for a long stay. So that was grand. Other people then, they came in on different reasons. And mental health was a huge issue. They just needed to get away from the family and the kids and from the work and whatever. So we have people coming here well over 10 years and they'd sit down here gladly for a whole week on their own without seeing another person, just sitting in the woods.
Get away from the family. What better reason do you need? So what were the backgrounds then of the people who came to take part in that survivalist camping trip, Maura?
I have to say, Claire, they're all really lovely people. When you think of preppers or survivalists, you might imagine people who are, you know, suspicious of government or deep into conspiracy theories, but that wasn't the case here. They're just very normal people looking for an opportunity to slow down and get closer to nature. Frank explained to me about some of the different backgrounds of those attending the camp.
So all of the guys from around the country, we've got guys from Mayo, Northern Ireland, we have them from Kerry, Cork, Tipperary. We're actually being outnumbered this time by all women. A lot of women are coming. They heard that we're having a great time, the fellas. So the women are coming to check it out. So we're going to make sure we're miserable. So it's when we come down, we're all meeting and we're just discussing how things are going. And we're renewing relationships and acquaintances again. So it's as you can see, it's a very quiet place. You can hear birds chirping in the background. They know there's a bit of crack and a bit of food later on. Sometimes the lads rock up with a few guitars or banjos or whatever, and sitting around the fire, the crack is just absolutely almighty. Have a few beers and no rules, but we generally have a very good house. So like all the people here are plus 30 and south of 80, but we have one 96-year-old and he does come in a camper. He might be here today, I don't know. He generally doesn't do Facebook writing, so he doesn't know. He just rocks up and he's a sound salt of the earth. 96 he is. And as I said, as a group, it's a passionate thing. I just love prepping as a hobby. I think it's a great hobby. I think survival, bushcraft, out in the camp, in the wild. People think I'm stone cracked, but sure, I'm here and it's 20-something degrees, and there's chicken on the in the pot waiting on me, garlic chicken that we've done earlier. And the garlic is from, I think it's from local, because there is loads of garlic around here, I can see it. And it's just that small things that make life really easy. You know, if the shop closes next to you in the morning, where are you going to buy your milk? I know where there's a cow, because the dairy farmer is up the road. See, I know all that. Small little things, you know, it makes a big difference. And it's just, information weighs nothing. You know, it doesn't weigh anything. So it's just learning that as a hobby and enjoying it. That's what I do, and I think that's what all the guys do. And I think it should be compulsory even in schools, this kind of stuff that we do. It's just so enjoyable.
It sounds so enjoyable. He's selling it really well. He's mentioned bushcraft a few times, Maura. What is bushcraft?
So bushcraft is basically learning to live off the land. So you know where to get your venison, your game, your what plants and eat, you can eat and that. So, and prepping, I suppose, is more so prepping for disasters when electricity and that goes down.
Right. Okay. So all eventualities covered. Frank mentioned there that there's women there as well. Women are interested in all of this too, thankfully.
They are, definitely. I spoke to two of them. Eileen and Mary, and Eileen explained to me her camping setup for the night.
Well, I don't have a tent, but I decided to have a tarp over me, so it's open to the front, and I have a cot, as they call it. It's a bed, so it's risen about a foot off the ground. Now, I would like it to be a little bit higher, but it isn't. But that's my setup. I have my pillows, I brought my pillows in my sleeping bag, and yeah. It'll be lovely for tonight now. Really nice.
Are you not worried about being disturbed by foxes or badgers?
Well, I have thought of that, all right, but I just don't worry about it now, to be honest with you, because they're not going to harm me in any way. So it's okay. Yeah. They're just do their thing, like.
And Mary, do you mind camping out in the open at all?
I've never tried it. No, I hope to do it sometime, but I stick to my tent for the moment. I like my tent. And quick and easy put up. Two-man tent.
Yeah. And have you been doing this for long?
Oh, yeah. We've been doing it for many years now.
What's the most enjoyable part of this experience for you?
It's just the freedom and just it's just everything. Just being out in the open, and it's just everything. It's been grounded and... to be among nature, being one with nature, really, basically. And we love that.
Can I ask you, Eileen, what you love about this experience?
I just love the freedom of it. Yeah. And we bring all our own food and we cook on the campfire. Yeah. And it's just lovely. You don't have to do anything in particular. Just go for a few walks during the day. When you feel tired, you come back and you sit down. You can lie on your bed or you can lie on your chair or sit on your chair. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's just lovely. And you have the trees and you wake up to the dawn chorus in the morning. It's beautiful to listen to the birds in the morning. Get up then and go for a nice walk.
Sounds like a really nice camping trip. A really enjoyable camping trip. So the people you spoke to, did you feel that, you know, looking into all of this survivalism, that it gives them more confidence when it comes to dealing with things like, let's say, when electricity goes or food supplies are cut off? Do they feel like they have the foundation to deal with that sort of stuff?
Absolutely, Claire. As another person I spoke to was Donald from Leash. He found that being part of the group drew him back to things that he enjoyed doing in childhood and that sense of adventure he'd been missing out on.
Well, he started off in the Scouts, I suppose, years ago, and then there was a gap, obviously. I had left the Scouts and I was working for a couple of decades, and I missed that element of my life, you know. But I was just too busy to go to be a Scout leader and so on. And then maybe 10 years ago, I came across these boys on Ear to the Ground. Yeah. And just joined up on Facebook, and the rest is history, I suppose.
And if the electricity grid was to go down in the morning and that, you know, food supplies were to be disrupted, would you be able to survive better than other people, do you think?
Well, I have plenty in my presses at home, but to forage, if that's what you're talking about, I don't know if the land is what it used to be. There's not enough out there you can forage, supplement your diet, you know, but I wouldn't be a hunter now, for example, but I suppose I have enough put aside in the pantry for a rainy day or for a power outage or whatever kind of thing, you know, COVID that was thrown at us, you know. shops closed or you can't get to them for any reason, whether it be a storm or, you know, the snow we had there in 2018, I think it was. I'll do okay for a while anyway.
Do you think being a survivalist or a prepper is just a grown-up version of being a Boy Scout?
Probably, yeah. For me, it is, yeah. It's just the next stage of scouting, I suppose, you know. And getting out there and practicing what you learned as a young lad going around with the scout troop. For me, it's about being out in nature. It's just a little bit of a hobby. When I get out and about, I try to, you know, brush up on my tree and plant ID. But it's just a hobby for me.
Yeah, it sounds like scouting for grown-ups,
exactly.
You know, and just great fun as well. And I love hearing the sound of the birds in the background in every single clip.
They didn't tell me you're invited down anytime, Claire.
Hi, listen, I'm there. I've been sold on this. Did you stay the night with them?
I nearly did, Claire, until I met the compost toilet. So I don't know if you know how a compost toilet works. But
tell me, go on now. You're going to ruin it all for me. I'm there. I'm going. Tell me.
Okay, it's basically a bucket in the ground and you cover your business with sawdust. There's no flush. Now, there was no smell or anything like that. It was very organic and natural, but it was just, I need a flush. I can't handle that.
So. And is it in a discreet location?
You do have a little shed. Yes, you do have privacy.
Yeah,
yes.
But you weren't going for that.
No, I need plumbing. Sorry, Claire.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Not sure it would turn me off completely, but it might be a factor. Thank you so much, Maura. That's our reporter, Maura Fay.